Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. How many of you serve a God that has never lost a battle? And how many of you know He cannot lose the battle of your life? How many of you believe that the battle of your destiny cannot lose it? Come on, come on, come on. How many of you truly believe that because He's your God and because you are His child, the battle over your destiny and your life will not be lost? I know it looks like it's an impossible battle. It looks tough, it looks difficult. Someone has told you that someone else who went through it did not survive it. But I want you to have the assurance this morning, He will not lose the battle over your life. Can you hold hands with somebody and I want us to pray for a second? I want us to pray for a second. There's a reason why you are sitting next to that person. Somebody you are holding is fighting a battle. Somebody's going through a difficult time. Somebody's not sure whether they will make it. Can you be their prophet this morning and say, Lord, strengthen my brother, strengthen my sister. Lord, I prophesy that you'll win this battle. She will overcome this battle. God will fight for you. God will come true for you. It will turn around for good. You're not going to end this way. You're going to end triumphantly. You're going to end in victory. God will make it for you. I want you to pray for the person you're holding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I said, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Is it okay if we give God some praise this morning in the house? Find two people, just give them a soft squeeze in their hand and tell them, I know you will make it. With God on your side, you will make it. You will make it. God will come true for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Sit down for 2 minutes. After then, I will ask you to stand up again. But just very quickly this morning, I want to welcome every one of you who are worshiping with us online from all over the world. We really, really appreciate and we honor the fact that you gave us access into your space. And we thank you for being a part of this service. Our prayer is that the Lord will come true to you right where you are in Jesus' name. And for the rest of us who took all the trouble to be here physically this morning, our depths of joy and gratitude knows no bound. Your sacrifice and coming will not be in vain in the mighty name of Jesus. God will give you a reason to smile and He will give you a song of praise in your mouth. Say a better amen, somebody. All right, I want to take our time to thank every one of you, both online and on site, who made Pastor's appreciation last Sunday worthwhile. I want to thank you for your love, your prayers, your gifts, your sacrifices and everything. I want to thank you. Is it okay if you put your hands together and just celebrate you? Thank you. Thank you and thank you over and over and over again. Sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. The Lord will honor you. And in your time of celebration, men will honor you even as you have honored me. Men will give to you. Kings will serve you. Nations will bow before you. You will never lack any good thing. On your birthday, men will treat you like you are the best thing that happened to the universe. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This morning is suffering from lack of coffee. Amen. If this is the kind of amen you want to do for this service, we might as well share the grace so that we know that there's no service at all at all. I repeat, I said on your day of celebration, the world will come to a standstill and they will... And they will honor you like you are the best thing that happened to the universe. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to take out a special shout out to my lovely wife and my children who have literally sacrificed me to church and allowed me to be here away from there where they really, really need me. I want to thank them for their love, their patience. Please help me celebrate Mama and help me celebrate the rest of my family for the sacrifice that they all have to make because of my assignment. Amen. Immediately after the second service, all workers, by workers I mean all who work in one part of the church or the other, we shall be having a very important leaders meeting for a very short time. So if you're in this first service, do kindly plan to stay back or go home and come back, for that meeting is very important. It's a very brief meeting, but it's important that you are here. Amen. Are you ready this morning? Come on, are you ready this morning? This morning we're going to be doing a special Thanksgiving on behalf of Pastor Chizoba's wedding that took place on Friday. Amen. And we want to officially just recognize her for the first time on a Sunday morning as Pastor Mrs. And let them just stand up, Pastor Emeka and Pastor Mrs. Chizoba. Please help me put your hands together for them for their first time as couples. Amen. You are next on the queue. You are next on the queue. Single ladies and guys, you are next on the queue. If I were God, would this your amen? With this kind of amen, if I were God, for the last time, single ladies and guys, you are next on the queue. It's too early in the morning to tempt God. Are you ready for this morning?
Yes, sir.
Rise on your feet. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Everybody, two, go. Romans chapter 8. Do you have my slides? Let me know, yes or no. Okay, you have it. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Two, go. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the manifestation of the sons of God. I want us to do something very significant this Sunday morning. I want you, for the next 60 seconds, to put your hand on your chest. And if you can speak in tongues, I want you to speak in tongues and say, Lord, I shall manifest. I must manifest. The world is waiting for me. Creation is waiting for me. My generation is waiting for me. Lord, I must show up. Lord, I must make my mark. Lord, I must plant my footprint. Lord, I must sign my signature. I refuse to pass through like a number. I refuse to pass through like an NIN number. I want my mark to be made. I want my name to be heard. I want to manifest. Can we turn that into a 60 seconds prayer this morning? Jeba lo sebendego selebata roboko soto brekete lebaro kosita ina mama ko sebededebo jilemento loboroko suprekedede zelemete ko selemondo boroko sute erebedi kosila mande garata kosa jabela tuma yakora beke site bidika inana robe sebide mele kosite libotoya jila papa papara ko sedebede mu kariante lebretesi ineboriate mendi grebide ko sante baratusa jikrabo Casonte bregede ko satabalaya jabra kasata marako celebedo intabiliko sute lebrekete ya shalamonte bidi bokoseya rebeko sita maleko sitaye. In Jesus mighty name we pray. There are two ways to go through life. Number one is to go through like a butterfly. You will fly across 75 years, 85 years, and nobody knew you passed. The other way is to go through like an elephant. Long after you have gone, your footprints will still be on the sand of times. I don't know which one you prefer, but I want you to lift up your voice and say, Lord, I want to go through like an elephant. I don't want to be a number. I don't want to fly across and nobody will notice somebody was here. Is it okay if you open your mouth and pray this morning? adabaka shata belekosi nimbrekoske breti koko rebe de koshande brakata kata zumande braka sote bede gederia elamana kosemene koshi bedi brekete kete regede bili korobo bobo bobo roko sede bendekeya nane korebe koshi pala mama kosi ineme kosan pro koske bedi grabada koshata rambo kosu debe de kora papa anaro sede beli akroposenema. I provoke the greatness of God on your inside. I call for the gifts of God on your inside. I stir up the grace of God on your inside. And I command you to be provoked this morning. Nana korade shilemonte breketekaya. Rambo boko sute breketekete. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say better amen.
Amen.
So let it be for us in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Sit down like the king that you are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, still on the Eagle series, I'm speaking this morning on what I've titled The Manifestation of Sons. The Manifestation of Sons. Help me tell your neighbor the manifestation of sons. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 49, Luke chapter 9 verse 49. It's an interesting story that was literally like a repeat of something that happened in the Old Testament. Like it happened literally word to word. Luke 9 49 was a story of Jesus and the disciples. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one guy casting out devils in your name. And we forbid him because he's not a member of our church. Neither is he a member of our Pentecostal fellowship. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice that there's something going on around the whole world. And for those of us who live in a place like Nigeria, the temptation to take it for granted is very high. But elsewhere in the world, Nigeria is being discussed. Not for bad this time, not for corrupt politicians, not for terrorism and insecurity, not for anything bad. But Nigeria, because I have the privilege of doing a little traveling, I'm aware of what I'm telling you about. That all over the place, have you noticed that there is a breakout of young men, young women who are manifesting God? Have you noticed that there are unlikely people? People that you will never ever look at. People that don't have the right CV you expect men of God to have. People that don't look like you. People with torn jeans. People with a hairstyle that you will not agree with. People whose packaging is totally different from yours. But all over the place, they are popping up and God is using them to do great and mighty things. Come on, does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And the disciples heard of such a move and said, we went to the meeting and we told them, if you are here, pimp, if you ever again, you're not part of us and you are doing this kind of thing, who gave you the authority? And they came back to testify to Jesus, we forbid them. And Jesus said, forbid them not. Forbid them not. They don't have to look like you. They don't have to have the hairstyle. Some of them, their hairstyle is yellow in color. Some of them is gold color. Some of them is even plated. Some of them, when you see their jeans, you will say, God cannot use people like this. He said, forbid them not. Why? He said, because if they are not against us, then they are for us. The other thing Jesus did not tell them is that there is something going on that you don't even know. I didn't have time to read the details of that romance, But the Bible said the whole creation is groaning and traveling in pain. Something happened to creation when Adam and Eve lost it in the Garden of Eden. From that time, creation has been groaning. Because the Bible said that they are groaning for their liberation. The only thing that will bring freedom to creation is the manifestation of the sons of God. So guess what? All over the place, there's a groaning going on. When are they going to show up? When will Okechukwu manifest? When will Peter manifest? When will Amaka show up? There is a groaning. And Jesus said, you don't understand the bigger picture. You are looking at your church. And anybody who is not within your church, who is not dressed like your sect, you think they are not of me. Forbid them not. Now, I was saying that something like that, literally word for word, happened in the old covenant. And I don't have time to read it, but Numbers chapter 11, Moses went to God. Numbers 11 from 16 all the way to 29. Moses said, you know what? I can't carry this burden any longer. Enough is enough. We can't continue like this. You know, these people are too troublesome. I can't continue to lead them. And God said, okay, I've had your prayer. Arrange 70 guys. Take 70 of the elders. Bring them into the tent. He said, I want to take of your spirit and put inside of them. In other words, the way I anointed you and you are manifesting, I also want them to manifest. Now, ladies and gentlemen, see what happened. If you go down to verse 26, by the time church gathered, you know, trust church people, two of them were not in the meeting. Whatever will be their excuse, I don't know. But God said, come, I want to ordain you. I want to make you a pastor. I want to dedicate you. I want to use you. Two of them did not show up. So guess what? God did what he had to do. He took the spirit of Moses and put it on the, how many, 60, 68 people. Then, I want you to hear this. Everybody go with me to verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad and Medad. They look even look like twin brothers. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written. But went not into the tabernacle. They didn't show up in church. And they too were prophesying in the camp. They were manifesting. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, ah, these two stubborn boys that didn't show up, they too are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and the servant of Moses, and one of the servant's young men answered and said, my Lord, Moses, do what? What did the disciples of Jesus did? They forbid them. Am I correct? Answer me, am I correct? They said, for God, Master, allow us to forbid them. And Moses said unto them, envious thou for my sake? Are you jealous for my sake? That God is using other people apart from us. They said, would God, I wish to God that all the lost people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all. In other words, I wish the whole of believers will be manifesting everywhere and that God will be using people you don't know anywhere. Do not forbid them. Are you still with me, somebody? Come on, am I communicating with you this morning? Pastor, what is going on? What exactly are you trying to explain to us this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you are aware that when you see a very poor girl, really, really poor girl, like as in poor, but suddenly she gets engaged to a very wealthy man, and suddenly the date for the wedding is getting near. The bell is softly jingling and wedding is coming. Have you noticed that you start seeing changes in the life of that poor girl? Suddenly, for the first time, she went to a spa. Manicure and pedicure. She went for a face makeover. Have you noticed that you see her clothes start changing? Suddenly, she's using an iPhone. We can identify what I'm talking about. Have you noticed that suddenly, you didn't know this girl was this fine because of poverty? Come on. As the wedding is getting closer, you notice her skin is now glittering. And now she's wearing a perfume that you have never seen her wear before. And there's a glow in her that you never saw there before. Please, does anybody understand what I'm talking about? What I'm saying, is it true or is it not true? What is happening to her? The wedding is getting near. She's poor, but she's getting married to a rich man. And the man has made up his mind that before I marry her, even though I met her poor, I have to upgrade her to my level. How many of you know the church is the bride of Christ? How many of you know the wedding is getting nearer? How many of you know the end of the age is on us? And you know what the Bible says in Ephesians? It says God, it says Jesus, because he knows the church is not perfect. You know what he's doing right now? The Bible says he wants a glorious church. He wants to present to himself a glorious church. So what is Jesus doing? He's beautifying the bride. He's decorating the bride. He's polishing the bride. He's making the bride look presentable, not for you, but for himself. He's upgrading the bride. Now, suddenly, manifestations anywhere. And I said at the beginning, I said, for us in Nigeria, there are a lot of things we will take for granted because it's happening everywhere. Almost everywhere you turn, there's somebody God is using. Something is going on. Listen to this. I've sat down in circles abroad where they are discussing Nigeria and the move of God. And this is the danger of it, ladies and gentlemen. The danger of it is this. When you see God using somebody in a way you don't understand, please don't be a judge over them. You know why? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 7, we know in part, we prophesy in part. He said something perfect is coming. When that comes, then we'll do away with the part. How many of you are aware, ladies and gentlemen, that you will never fully understand all of the moves of God? Some of them you can relate with, others you can't relate with. But the most stupid thing you will ever do is instead of, you know, God is like a big elephant. And different people hold that elephant at different points of revelation. And they will preach. The one that held the leg will preach God like the leg. The one that held the tusk will preach it. The one that's holding the, what's that? That's something that goes like this. The one that they use in injuring somebody. The tusk. The one will preach it. But guess what? If you are holding the leg, you will attack the man holding the tusk and say, what rubbish are you preaching? That is not the gospel. The gospel looks like this leg. No, it's not true. You have a part. Now we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's why it is so stupid for any preacher anywhere in the world to sit in the position of judge over every other person and say, this one is not correct. That one is wrong. This one is bad. This 5, 10 years ago, the word chanting, if you mention it in church, it will be excommunicated, true or false? My God, am I talking to somebody? If you mention chanting in church, not only will you sit at the back seat, you will watch toilet. But guess what? Now there's a move of God in the direction of chanting that is stirring the spirit of God. And guess what? The church in Nigeria was quick to embrace it. Somebody who doesn't understand it, carries it, goes before the internet and he fights it and it attacks it. Listen to this. If you do not understand what God is using another person to do, you have no right to judge or to forbid them or to attack them. Do the one you know. Leave the rest for God. At the end of the day, the church belongs to him. And it will be the one to determine finally who is right and who is wrong. Are you with me, somebody? The stupidest thing anybody will do is to sit in the position of a judge and start attacking anybody. And by the way, if you see anybody whose ministry is to attack whatever other person is preaching, he has no message to preach. And since he has no message to preach, he now sit down and listen to the one other people are preaching and then begin to fight and begin to attack them. And the bad news is that some of you are dumb enough to follow people like that. And your life, your Christian life was better until you started listening to them. Now you are confused. You don't even know what is good, what is right. You used to have a good Christian life. You used to have convictions before. But now you are believing so much people who are anointed by Satan on people to attack the church. Now they are your official pastors right now. Take a look. Look at what he's doing to your life. Look at what he's doing to your life. Jesus said, do not forbid them because you don't understand all of God. You know in parts and you prophesy in parts. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Yeah. Come on, can I hear an amen, somebody? Yeah. Pastor, what do we do in the midst of these manifestations? Only one prayer. Father, whatever you are doing in the world, don't do without me. Don't let me aside. Don't carry me along. If people are manifesting, Lord, can you put your hand on your chest and say, oh God, my God, say, oh God, whatever you are up to, around the world, in the universe, in Nigeria, in Africa, don't do it without me. Say, don't do it without me. I declare you will not be left out of the glory of God in the name of Jesus. You will not be left out of the move of God in the name of Jesus. In your own corner, you will manifest. In your own calling, you will manifest. In your own way, you will manifest. Can you shout a believing amen, somebody?
Yeah.
I don't have time, ladies and gentlemen. Two things I want you to know about the manifestation of the sons of God. Number one, every believer is a carrier of God and is a representative of the kingdom of God. Every believer is a carrier. Everybody say carrier. I can't hear you say carrier. My God, I can't hear you say carrier. For the last time, I can't hear you say carrier. Pastor, what exactly do you mean by that? Ladies and gentlemen, in Luke chapter 17 verse 20, I need to run because of my time. Luke 17 verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, they asked him, Luke 17, 20. They asked him, when will the kingdom of God show up? When will it come? He answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Neither shall you say, lo here or lo there. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Everybody say within you. Say within you. For the last time, say within me. Put your hand on your chest and say the kingdom of God. Come on, say the kingdom of God does not come by observation, but that kingdom is within me. Now, I'm speaking on manifestation because I'm speaking on the topic of manifestation of the sons. And I want you to please understand this. What do exactly do you mean? Now, some of you who are old enough, who have been Christians long enough, or maybe you lived in Benin and you are old enough, you can relate with this story. Many years ago, this is a true story, I was still a little boy at the time. What they call the International Convention of Witches across the world, they were to do a meeting in the city of Benin, Edo State, many years ago, in the days of Archbishop Benson in Dawosa. So this is what happened. The president went on NTV at that time. Nigerian, we used to have NTV that are not NTA. And he made a broadcast and said that Benin will be hosting the International Convention of Witches and so on. The next day, Archbishop Benson in Dawosa went back to the same station and said, I, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, want to announce to Benin people. Because by this time, panic was everywhere. Christians were praying. Some were doing night vigil. Some were binding. Some were losing. People were like, wow, witches are coming to Benin and all that. And Archbishop went on television and said, I, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, want to let you people of Edo State know that, don't worry, I'm here. The meeting will not hold. The meeting will not hold. Okay? So after then, they now decided to do a kind of, you know, the way these television people, they now brought him and the warlord, the president of the association, for them to come and do a bit of, you know, an interview and so on. So when he got there, the president of the Witches Association said, listen to this, not even God can stop this meeting from taking place. We have decided, and he must hold in Benin. And Idahosa said, you don't need God to stop this meeting. I'm here. As long as Archbishop Benson Idahosa is here, that meeting will not hold. Not only did the meeting not hold, the president got born again. No, it's not for you to clap. It's for you to understand that there's nothing those men are doing you cannot do. If only you understand what you carry. Does anybody understand me this morning? Come on, does anybody understand me this morning? He said, it's not, you don't need God. We don't need God to come and stop the meeting. Benson Idahosa is here. As long as I'm in Benin, the meeting cannot hold. Can I prophesy to somebody? As long as you're in your family, rubbish will not take place. I said, as long as you're in your village, witches will not run riot. Occultic men will not run riot. As long as you're in that family, can I declare over you, witches will not have their way. Shout amen, somebody. Say better amen. Oh Lord, come down and manifest thy power. God will never answer that prayer. He has never answered it before. He will never answer it. God will not come down because you are already down. I prophesy over somebody. How many of you know that God will never manifest himself? No, he doesn't. God never manifests himself to the world. You know what God does? He manifests himself to his people. His people manifest themselves to the world. Let's go to the Bible. I don't have time, but I need to show you this. Are you with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? John 14. Please follow me. John 14. I know I have a short time, but I need to exhaust some of the most important things. John 14, verse 8. Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father. John 14, 8. John, make the transition fast. Philip said to the Lord, show us the Father, and it will be satisfied. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, Philip? And you are looking for God when I'm here? And you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How come you are not asking me, show us the Father? Which Father are you looking for when I'm here? I want to declare over somebody, when they are looking for God in your family, you will show up. Yeah. I said, when they are looking for God, you will show up. Yeah. Say a better amen, somebody. Yeah. Come on. Now, the same John 14, go to verse 18 for time's sake. I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. A little while, and the world will see me, and see me no more. But you, they will see, because I live, and you also will live. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Are you still there? He that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will do what? And will do what? Have you seen it? He never manifests himself to the world. He manifests himself to his people. Let's continue. And I will manifest myself to him. Now, verse 22. Judas said unto them, not the bad guy, not the bad Judas Iscariot. He said, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world? How is it that you will not respond to that cry? Oh Lord, come down and manifest. He said, no. Why don't you want to show up as they are asking you? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. And both me and my Father will come unto him. And read the last thing to go. We come and make our abode with him. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me this morning? So guess what? When I move, God moves. When I travel, he travels. When I'm lying down to sleep, God is sleeping. Does anybody understand me? He says you are the temple of the living God. I hope you know a temple is a shrine. How many of you know you are a walking shrine? You are a living shrine. So, listen, a temple is an altar. So when they are saying, there's one altar in your village, oh, that they say it's a very tough altar. You show up, you say it's altar versus altar. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I hope you know that the you is not a flesh, it's the spirit. You are made a spirit. You are an altar, you carry God. You are the temple of the living God. When you show up, God shows up. Listen to this, put your hand on your chest and say, I'm a mobile shrine. Kanamakoya, say, I'm a mobile shrine. I'm an altar feared by the kingdom of darkness. Everywhere I go, God goes. Everywhere I show up, God shows up. Everywhere I manifest, Jesus manifests. Everywhere I manifest and there is darkness, light comes to that place because I'm a mobile shrine. Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that one of the reasons why a lot of Christians, and this is very sad, one of the reasons why a lot of Christians generally do not want to manifest, they don't even have a vision, is because, you see, the biggest problem with many of us is that we have this thing about Christianity being an appendage in your life. You see, you have not seen Christianity as your everything. So you have my Christian life, my work life, my school life, my business life. So your business life can dupe, can cheat, can do anything. Then on Sunday you put on your Christian life, and on Wednesday, and your Christian life is very pious and very nice and very holy, until the day you synchronize all your various lives together and decide that I am a Christian first and foremost, then I'm a businessman and a student and a politician and whatever. You begin to understand that this thing called Christianity is not an appendage, it's a life. And it's not just a life, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Sonship is not something you really work for. Something is an, Sonship is an inheritance that God gave to you. And understand that God doesn't really need too much from you for you to show up and manifest. As the biological son of your father, if there's a contention in the family, you don't need any special permission from your father for you to show up and say, who were you talking to? I'm the first son of Mr. Okonkwo. Come and talk to me, somebody. Why? Because you show up as a son. Your greatest privilege is the fact that you are a son in the house. I command you, you will manifest in the name of Jesus. I said you will manifest in the name of Jesus. Please answer me. I said you will manifest in the name of Jesus. The second thing I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, is that this whole thing about manifestation is not reserved for some special people. Please note that. It is not some anointed men of God or some anointed women of God. We are all children of God. Are you still there, somebody? Please answer me, are we still there, somebody? Can you talk to me, are we still there, somebody? Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The qualification is them that believe. Them that believe. It's not some people, it's for everybody. Joel told us in chapter 2, verse 28, I'm pouring my spirit upon how many flesh? Upon how many flesh? Upon all flesh. All. Not some, upon all. And he says, sons, daughters will prophesy. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Isaiah said in chapter 8, I and the children God has given to me are for signs and wonders. Can I prophesy unto somebody? In the name that is above every other name, from this day forward, your life will be a life of signs and wonders. I said your life will be a life of signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say a louder amen if you don't mind. Can you say a better amen, somebody? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 told us of the duality of our nation. He said, you are a royal priesthood. In other words, please everybody look up here. In other words, I have a dual responsibility. First of all, I'm a king, and then I'm a priest. So this is how it works. I'm a housewife priest. I am a lecturer priest. I'm a politician priest. I'm a businessman priest. I am not going to, listen, I don't need, first of all, to be ordained as a man of God or to be called as a prophet for me to manifest. As long as I'm a child of God. Now, I'm sure you know the typology of the priesthood of this New Testament. The Bible calls it is after the order of Melchizedek. Who remembers what I'm talking about? The Bible said our priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? The Bible said, first of all, he was the king of Salem. So he's a politician. But then the Bible also said he's the priest of the Most High God. And then the Bible, in interpreting in his name, says he's the prince of peace. So here is a gentleman who is a member of APC, PDP, or Labour Party, before I enter trouble. So, you look at him on television, he's talking like a politician. But the moment he gets out of the office, he's not just a priest. The guy was a prophet. So much that Abraham paid tithes to him. That is the duality of the anointing God has given to us. Such that, please everybody look up here, such that when you show up in your office, and they are discussing issues that border on the office, and then suddenly, please everybody listen to this, suddenly in the middle of the board meeting, somebody is being oppressed by the devil. You pause the meeting and said, sorry gentlemen, can you give me 2 seconds? And you lay hands on the person, rebuke the situation, and the person recovers immediately. You return back and continues. Now, you are manifesting your office even as a medical doctor. You know where medicine ends and where the spiritual begins. And so there are some problems, you know, that this one has visited me over and over for consultation. This is not about a physical thing. I've given her all the drugs, nothing is happening. You know when to drop the stethoscope and to lay hands on her and cast that devil out of her. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What am I trying to say? God is, see, the whole world is looking for your manifestation. You know the bad news? Whether you manifest or not, manifestations are taking place. God is raising people everywhere. My only message to you this morning is that you will not be left out in the name of Jesus. You'll be a part of the move of God, and you'll be a part of the program of God. You'll be a part of the things that God is doing right now in this generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Never take the position of criticism, judgment, castigating, or trying to run your mouth over something you don't understand. If you do it, you will perish. And guess what? You will see, every time you concentrate on something, anything that you attack, you will never be able to attract in your life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If God is using somebody else, and instead of celebrating them and saying, God, thank you for what you are doing through Okochukwu or Emeka, all you do is attack and attack, you will die and go to your grave without seeing one drop of manifestation in your life. God does not want you to be envious of anybody. God wants you to celebrate them, but also believe God that you too, you are a son and you must manifest. Say amen, somebody. Yeah. I think this is a good sermon for a time like this. Can I hear a louder amen, somebody? Yeah. For the last time, can I hear a louder amen? Yeah. All right. In summary, ladies and gentlemen, and I know I don't have too much of time, in Acts chapter 14, an interesting thing happened in a place called Lycaonia. Okay? Acts 14 verse 8. A crippled man was at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb. The Bible says he never walked, and Paul was speaking. They beheld him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. And they said with a loud voice, stand upon your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw Paul, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice saying, in the speech of Lycaonia, everybody read with me, 1, 2, go. The gods are come to us. How? Now, please, let's take that again. 1, 2, go. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. I want to prophesy over you. In your family, that will be the testimony in the name of Jesus. Right in your classroom, that will be the testimony in the name of Jesus. Every time things are going wrong in the community, that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. I prophesy that in your village, in your home, in your family, men will look at you and say, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. I prophesy over you, you will manifest. I said you will manifest. For the last time, I said you will manifest. In the name of Jesus. Quickly, I have 6 minutes to go. How do you manifest the nation of God? How do you manifest this nation of God? There are 3 points, but I'll take the first one in this service. Number one, step. How do I manifest as a child of God? You manifest by stirring up the gifts that is in you. You stir up the gifts that is in you by stirring up. Everybody say stir. I like that pot. Say stir. Come on, say stir. By stirring up the gift that is in you. Stirring up. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, I don't have time for verse 5. Let me go to verse 6. Okay, no, let me. Okay, Paul was speaking. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice. It says, I'm persuaded that if your grandmother was anointed like this, if your mother was also like this, I'm also persuaded, okay, that same anointing, that same grace that flows is also on you. Next verse. Next. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance. Paul, I know you think I've forgotten. I still remember that day. It was a Wednesday Bible study. I laid my hands upon you and I told you you can manifest. Sorry, Timothy rather. Paul was speaking to Timothy. I know you're something you carry. Forget about the fact that we are greater. We are called apostle. You don't need a title. I still remember. I want to remind you of the day I laid my... Can you put the scripture for me if you don't mind? I beg you, God. That you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Stir. Everybody say stir. Say stir. Say stir. Now, you know one of the biggest problems I've noticed? How many of you notice that if you're trying to taste the soup, whether there's salt, you keep pouring the salt. I'm pouring it. Without stirring the pot. Please, what will happen? You will taste one part of the soup and say there's no salt. You will not taste another part and you will spit it out. True or false? Please answer me, true or false? Christians who don't stir up the gift of God in them, you know what happens? They are useless both to God because they are too salty. They've received too much anointing, too much revelation, too much word. So the anointing has become too much. You can't eat the food. Is anybody understand what I'm talking about? But give me the next verse. The next verse to that scripture. Let me show you how it correlates. The next verse to that scripture. Give it to me quickly. For God has not given us the spirit of what? Timothy was afraid to stir his gift. Timothy was afraid to manifest. Timothy was scared that this thing Paul they do is for apostles. So let me not go and lay my hand on the ground and say that. Who send you go lay hands? Who send you? Now for apostles, not for people like you. So he said, number one, Timothy, I've been watching you. Your grandmother was used of God. Your mother was a woman of God. You, Timothy, there is a grace you carry, and I have laid my hands upon you. There's something in you, but until you stir it up, nothing will happen. Then he now told him, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Stop being afraid. Can you help me beat your neighbor as long as you know they will not beat you? Can you help me beat your neighbor and say, neighbor, stop being afraid? There's something you carry. Say, neighbor, stop being afraid. There's something you carry. Many Christians don't know how powerful they are. Many Christians don't know the anointing and the grace they carry. And listen to this. Like my friend will always say, listen, if there's a situation around you, don't be afraid. Pray, rebuke, cast out, do whatever. See, if God answered the prayer, everybody will give God glory. If God does not answer, you didn't cause the problem. Nobody is going to arrest you and call police for you. Am I correct? You're only trying to help the situation. Am I right? Nobody will kill you. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Don't be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Stir it. How do you stir it? Use it. Use it. Just bring it out. Try it. It didn't work the first time. Try it again. Keep trying it until something happens. Can I hear a loud amen, somebody? Yeah. Let me tell you one thing I've noticed. If there's an anointing of God on your life and you do not like to use it, if there's something God wants to use you to, and most of the times you're running away from, you know what God does? God throws a problem into your life that will challenge you to use the anointing. How do I explain this one now? There is a problem that will confront you. You think you don't know how to pray, you will pray. There's a challenge that will come on the family. You will think you don't know how to do nine vigil, you will do nine vigil. Who knows what I'm talking about? Don't wait until God throws a spanner in your wheels and allow the devil to afflict your elder brother before you begin to do what you ought to do. Pray when you should pray. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. For the last time, say amen, somebody. Amen. 1 minute to go. I think I'm going to leave that and just go straight to the next point. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, God told us something very strange. And this is what I'm about to say now is very important, because one of the major problems a lot of Christians have when it comes to steering the gift of God in them, many Christians look at their lives. I'm still struggling with this. I'm not well educated. I'm looking at my family background. I've made many mistakes in the past. Pastor, you can be talking to me like this because you don't know exactly what I've done. I will never forget the story of our pastor in Aba. I'm sure you all remember the story. I'll call him and say, you are preaching tomorrow. He said, Pastor. As I tell him he's preaching, he has entered very quickly. He has taken off to Abuja. He has gone to Aba. Or he has gone somewhere. Yes, he just travels. And he kept dodging and dodging and dodging until one day, I walk up to his office and I said, next Sunday, you are preaching. And he said, Pastor, okay, since you are insisting, now I need to see you and talk to you. So he came to the office and I said, sit down. And he sat down. And he began to tell me his catalog of stories. How that I don't know him, that's why I'm telling him to preach. How that as he's talking to me, he used to do drugs. How that he has even gone to jail in Germany. How that he was an inmate with terrorists from Afghanistan. How that he has done this, he has done that, he has done that, he has done that. When he was done, I started clapping. I said, that's the qualification we're looking for. And he looked at me and said, you cannot be serious. I said, that's exact qualification. I said, this CV you just gave me now is the best CV that I've never had a CV this good before. I said, God wants to use the backdrop of this, your story, to show the devil that after he has finished messing you up, God can still bring forth a message out of that mess. I said, this CV is the best CV I've seen. I've never seen a CV this good since I've been ordaining pastors. I said, don't worry, next Sunday you are still preaching. And I said, I'm not praying for forgiveness because God has already forgiven you. Go and prepare your sermon notes. He preached his first sermon. Today he has built one of the biggest houses on the rock, churches in Aba, doing great works for the kingdom, raising men and women all over the place. Why? Because God, the Bible says we have this treasure, not in golden vessels, not in silver vessels. How many of you know God didn't even put the treasure in angelic vessels? If I were God, I would have chosen angels. We have never made any mistake. We don't have any history. We don't have any past. We have never made any mistake before. You know what God chose? Earthen vessels. People with rubbish mistakes. People with a terrible past. People who have done all kinds of nonsense. That's where God decided to put the treasure. Listen to this. The treasure is in earthen vessels. And you are that vessel. Can I prophesy over you? That treasure in you must speak. That treasure must manifest. That treasure must manifest. I said the treasure must manifest. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout a better amen, somebody. Amen. Listen to this. No matter what vessel you are, all that God wants from you is to be yielded. As long as you are a yielded vessel, God can use you. God can use you. And listen, He will use you in the name of Jesus. I said He will use you in the name of Jesus. For the last time, God will use you in the name of Jesus. Listen, I see. Many years ago, this is a true story, sir. There are some people here who are saying, Pastor, okay, God will use, God will use. How about as broke as I am? As useless as I look? As so poor as I am? You know, many years ago, I used to stay in one place in GRA. And right behind my house, in a one-room room, was a young man. They call him Prophet. He was a native doctor, but they call him Prophet. Everybody look up here. And you know, it was like a joke initially, because when the guy moved in, the biggest problem we started having initially was the fact that, we hear a girl screaming, and he had chains of those girls. Screaming, screaming. And we hear bottle breaking. My wife and I, we rush down to rescue a life. It's one girl from Esut, who is his girlfriend. He has smoked, the guy smokes Indian hemp. I'm talking about prophet. He smokes Indian hemp. When he smoke, then he will beat this girl. And then after beating the girl, then we will rescue the girl and take the girl to our house. We'll now ask the girl, please, where do you stay? Say, New Haven. Please take transport fare, go back home. This guy will kill you. The next day, the girl is back again. So we kept rescuing girls until we now said, you know what? We are not the Lord and Savior of this world. Jesus has already died. Any girl that wants to die, let the person die. So we stopped wasting our time with rescuing girls from his hand. And there are different one of them. But listen to this. This guy is in a one-room room. Matter of fact, the owners of that flat is a member of our church. They just gave that one room to him. And I will see jeeps parked outside. When the election is coming, particularly, politicians in Enugu line up to come and see the guy. In a one-room room. Nobody ever asked the guy, this thing that you are doing for us, if it's working for you, why are you in a one-room room? This guy does not have a car. This guy is in a one-room room. And nobody has ever questioned his situation. And listen to this. You know what I said to myself? If a man in a one-room room can still command the obedience of people, men don't care what you have or don't have. Men want to know whether you actually have a command of life. If you have a command of life and life situation, it doesn't matter the condition you are. People will bow down and come to you. For the last time I prophesy, you will manifest. No matter your situation. Have you gone to native doctors' houses? They smell. Some of them, the blood that they just sacrificed yesterday is oozing all over the place. People close their nose and still enter to go and get help. And you that is anointed with the Holy Ghost, with a good perfume on you, looking good, something says to you, God cannot use you. If the devil can use a smelly native doctor, I prophesy God will use you to manifest. I said you will manifest. For the last time, you will manifest. Shout aloud, amen, somebody. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the last thing I'm going to say, how do we engage the supernatural? And I'm out of your face. Number one, how do we engage the supernatural? How do we engage the supernatural? I run through that. Just mention it and I'll be out of your face. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. How do we engage the supernatural? 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Number one, be a word addict. Everybody say word addict. I can't hear you say be a word addict. For the last time, say be a word addict. Ladies and gentlemen, please look up here. Anytime God decides to use a man who is not committed to his word, it's only a matter of time that man will end up becoming a native doctor. You know why? Because the power of God, how do I put it now? Let me put it this way. Please look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? You see, anytime the use of God, the anointing of God, the manifestation of God goes outside of the confines of the word, is another thing. It's called magic. Okay? It's called occultism. God only works within the framework of his word. So every time God wants to use you, not only does he require you to have the word of God as a matter of bread for your spirit, but he also needs you to have enough revelation of the word so that no matter the voice you hear whilst you are manifesting, you can manifest it outside of his word. Pastor, explain that to us. It's very simple. Anytime, and please everybody look up here, Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20, Isaiah 8, 20. Give it to me, Isaiah 8, 20. Isaiah 8, 20. To the law and to the testimony. Now, everybody read the next thing with me. One, two, go. If they speak not according to what? Anytime a prophet says anything, if it does not align with the word of God, it is because of what? There's no light in them. So when he prophesies to you and say, you are my wife. How many of you know, and there are prophets who do that, who look at a girl that they are lusting after and come and say, thus saith the Lord, you are my wife. Now there's no light in that prophet because there's no provision in the world that gives a prophet the right to use spiritual manipulation and sorcery to command a girl to be his wife. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? It must be according to the word. And if God is going to use you mightily, God wants to be sure that you will operate within the gambits of the word. Otherwise, you will take the anointing and run into sorcery, run into witchcraft, run into occultism, and start doing all kinds of things that are outside of the ambits of the word of God. So number one, you must be a word addict. Listen to it. Read it. Read it, study it. Let something be playing in your car every time you are driving. Let something be in your earphone anytime you are putting on the phone. Let the word of God become a part of your being. Because if God will invest oil on you, he wants to be sure. The oil is the anointing. The cup is the word. And God will only express the anointing within the ambit of the cup. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Number two, Pastor, what is that thing that will activate the supernatural in my life? Number two, learn to speak in tongues regularly. 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 Consciously and unconsciously. As you wake up from sleep to ease yourself, speak in tongues until you fall back into sleep again. That is if you're not praying for any reason. Speak in tongues sometimes just driving in the car. Speak in tongues when you're waiting for the lecturer to come. Speak in tongues while you're waiting for the food to be served in the restaurant. Speak in tongues when just learn how to speak in tongues. Let it just be a part of your second nature that you are always mumbling something in you. You see, what it does is that it always puts you in an atmosphere of readiness to be used by God at every given point in time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Please talk to me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I put a warning there, and everybody look up here. I say spiritual resistance is not a sign of weakness. Pastor, why did you say this? Everybody look up here. There's something that happens to Christians that the devil always used to cheat them. You came to church. Please listen to this. And a man of God called for you to sow a seed. You sowed a seed. The next thing you knew, you've sown that seed in faith, knowing that God will bless you, as the man of God promised you. You know the next thing that happened? You traded another business. You lost 1 million naira. You know what happens to you? Most believers come up and say, they say, so I sow. Next thing, before you know what's happening, I've lost money. When I was not sowing, I didn't lose money. What can I come see me see trouble? Now I don't go give money now for church now. 1 million naira I never lose before. I don't lose them. Listen to this. What you don't know is that thing you did is working. So guess what? There was a resistance in the realm of the spirit. There's a breakthrough that is about to come. And Satan knows that if you continue in that trajectory, what is about to happen to you, nobody can control it. So you slap him. He decides to give you a little slap back. You lost 1 million naira. Guess what? Most Christians complain at that time and back out. Are you aware that the moment you start praying in a dimension you never prayed before, you will notice that resistance will come? Sometimes it will come in somebody else fell sick. This one just happened. I just lost somebody. And guess what? Because you lost your uncle, as you started increasing your prayer, you became afraid and you backed out. You just missed it. You should be happy because that thing you are doing is working. And it's because it's working, that's why there's a resistance. This is where many believers, have you had people say, I've been living my life jejeli, I wasn't going to church. Everything was working for me. If I need money, one phone call, somebody will give me. If I need this one, it will happen. Since the day I gave my life to Christ, you people should come and look at my condition. Since the day I gave my life to Christ, that's how nothing is working. This one is working. What you just did rocked hell. What you did aggravated hell. What you did made hell mad. They know that you are about to enter into a realm that will change not just you, but generations after you. So they had to come back with a resistance. I've seen people who at that point said, since I didn't have problem when I was serving the devil, I now give my life, this one has happened. Let me go and return back to the place where I was before, where there was no trouble before. But what you don't know is that that thing that looks like there's no trouble with Satan, it's only a matter of time. But I prophesy over somebody. May God give you capacity to stand when there's resistance in the name of Jesus. I said, may God give you capacity to stand in the name of Jesus. Finally, do not manifest in isolation, but manifest in collaboration with the church. 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 Everybody look up here. One of the tragedy of the 21st century church. Now, is the fact that you have this group of people in church. And please, everybody look up here. They've been in church for 5 years, 7 years. But they're somewhere. Most of them sit under. Okay, let me not go there. I didn't say that. I withdraw my word. But they have a position where they sit. 5 years. No matter what you announce, no matter what you say, they don't join anything. They're not part of anything. Listen to this. This is the philosophy in their mind. I love God. I'm serving in my own way. You people don't know what I'm doing. Oh, in my village, I give bags of rice. I do this, I do that, I do that, I do that. I don't have to join you people to do what you people are doing. Yes, I'm a member of House on the Rock. But you know what? I know how I am serving God my own way. They never join with the rest of us to do what we're doing. So this is what happens. They've been in church for 5 years. They've never invited once any of their friends to church. They're not committed in a department. Give, they will never give. Tithe, forbidden. Oh yeah, do evangelism? No way. There's nothing whatsoever. Okay, project is coming up. We are all contributing for the project. They will never join. A program is now coming up. We are all trying to see how we can raise money to host men of God. There's nothing that they ever partake of. You know why? Somewhere in their mind, there's a justification that they are doing their own worship of God in their own way. And nobody needs to interfere with them. It's a relationship between them and God alone. I like the illustration the man of God we just ended put. He said, you can stay inside your house. You don't need to go to school. And you can stay there and read all the books in this world. And even know more than the consultants and the doctors in UNTH. The only problem is that you never get a license to practice medicine. Because for you to get a license, you must enter a school. You must be a part of an institution, whether on-site or online. And they must test you, test your knowledge at various points for them to be able to give you. So no matter how good you think you are, you still need a school or an organization to be able to license you to practice medicine. What are we trying to say? There's a reason why he said the church is his bride. There's a reason why you belong to a local assembly. No matter what you are doing, don't try to manifest in isolation. Only you know what God is using you to do. But you are never a part of anything going. Since you joined this church, one of your friends, your colleagues, has never been invited to church. The question you want to ask, give, you don't give. Tithe, you don't pay. The question you want to ask, if 10% of the church is like you that knows more than everybody. If 10% of the church is like you, will this church still be standing? If everybody is stingy like you, everybody does not give like you, if everybody decide that we're not inviting anybody to church, if we all decide to be like you, will there be a church for you to come to next Sunday? Listen to this. It's a bad thing to do when you decide to isolate yourself for the rest of the group. God has called us as a body. And it is, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Whenever you want to manifest, try and do it within the framework of the local assembly that God has called you to do. This morning, I want to prophesy over somebody. In this generation, as God is causing men to pop up everywhere, as men are rising from the north, from the east, the west, the south, I want to prophesy over you, you shall manifest. I said you shall manifest. Please stand on your feet. I'm done. Stand on your feet. I want to prophesy over somebody. Listen to this. God is going to do some strange things in your life in this generation. God is going to pour oil upon you and is going to use you to do mighty things. But I want to give you 30 seconds to lift up your right hand and begin to speak and say, Lord, whatever you are doing in this generation, please don't do it without me. Don't leave me out of it. Don't put me aside. Make me a part of what you are doing in this generation. Can you lift up your hands and turn that into a prayer? I prophesy over you that God will lay his hands upon you. The devil will not derail your destiny. The enemy will not stop on the way of the pathway of your purpose and assignment. God will use you. You shall manifest. You shall manifest. You shall manifest. You shall manifest. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. I consecrate you into a new season of glorious supernatural manifestation. And I declare that the glory of God that is breaking out right now across the nations, you will not be left out of it. God will use you in that office. It will use you in that school. It will use you in that office. It will use you in that government parastatal. God will use you right in that village or family. I pray that God will use you in that community, in that local government. May God raise you to become a great man who stands in the dual capacity of a king and also a priest. That whilst they are seeing a politician, behind that politician, there is a prophet. And God will use you mightily to change the landscape of that place where he has raised you and planted you as a politician, businessman, student, or whatever, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord, and I consecrate you into a lifetime of supernatural manifestation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Give God praise in the house this morning.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.